Oh, you've moved her brush, haven't you?
There, that's better. Just as she always laid it down. Come on, Danny, hair drill, she would say. I'd stand behind her like this and brush away for 20 minutes at a time. And then she would say, good night, Danny, and step into her bed. I embroidered this case for her myself, and I keep it here always. Did you ever see anything so delicate?
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Basketball Damien. Sorry, Playoff Damien. And this is Douglas.
Are the Charlotte Hornets still winning?
No. They're a bad team.
They are?
A really bad team.
Are they any better than the Orlando Blooms?
The Orlando Blooms got relegated from the basketball.
Ah, okay. Okay.
DC United.
Also already did. Don't know how. They're so good that one year.
But we have very important news to discuss on this podcast.
Yes.
Finger out.
Finger out.
Yes. I mean, damn it.
Damien's Jesus is no longer involved in football anymore.
There'll never be another like him. He was the only one to... Oh no, he does still have a record. Damn it, Man City. Damn it, Man City. All they had to do was not lose a game an entire season. And they couldn't get that done. Allow Man U to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Dak nabbit. Anyways.
Anyways.
Who picked this movie?
I did.
You?
I certainly did not.
Yeah.
I certainly did not. Andrew. What are we talking about?
Leading hard. So this week, we're here to discuss the latest film from Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread, starring Daniel Day-Lewis in supposedly his final film performance ever, until I guess he Jay-Z's and comes back.
Sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat. When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments. Things that only I knew were there. Secrets.
Good morning.
Will you have dinner with me?
Yes.
I feel as if I've been looking for you for a very long time. You look beautiful.
Let me just pause for a second before we get into this movie. I want to tell all non-athletes something. You don't get to retire. Okay? You don't. Because the thing you do doesn't require what's the thing that athletes do? Oh, there's no championship for what you do. So you don't get to retire because no one gives up. Jay-Z retiring, Daniel Day retiring. You guys aren't retiring. You've stopped doing it. But you're retired. Because who gives a shit? end segment. Back to you, Andrew.
Okay, hi. I don't know what we were just talking about, but we're talking about Phantom Thread.
Right, you said Daniel Day retired, yes. And I was very upset.
Yes, he's retired.
Because that's not a theme, you're an actor. You can't retire. You retire when you're gone.
It just done? It just means that for the rest of his life, he's never going to lie again.
Yeah.
Right? He's only been himself for the rest of his life.
Right. So, like, Douglas can't say he's retired from tennis because Douglas will never, ever compete in tennis again. So, even if he doesn't think so, he's retired. That's not how it works with acting and singing.
Anyways, this film circles around the character of Reynolds Woodcock, who is being played by Daniel Day-Lewis, a famous dressmaker in 1950s London.
He still exists.
One day he comes upon a young lady by the name of Alma and becomes smitten by her, and the film follows their relationship as she's brought into the house of Woodcock. I like saying Woodcock.
We know. I can hear it from over here. Isn't he still a tailor, even though he makes dresses?
You mean in real life?
Yeah. He called him a dressmaker. So wouldn't he still... Isn't it... If you're a man, regardless of what you make, you're a tailor. And if you're a woman, regardless of what you make, you're a dressmaker.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's based on what you make.
No, I honestly thought that was how it works.
So Damien.
Yeah.
If a woman makes a t-shirt, is she a dressmaker?
Yeah.
No.
No. I really didn't. Like, I've always just...
You know what, Damien? Mm-hmm. Just go talk to your stewardess friends, okay?
If a man,
it's tailor.
If you're a man, right, and you're a stewardess, male air hosts? Are they still just in the pool of stewardess?
Well, it would be, if we're going by those old terms, it would just be steward.
Oh,
yeah.
Never spent any time thinking about it.
You okay over there, David?
Now that I'm saying it out loud, I can see, like, thinking about it for more than 10 seconds, like, yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. But, all right, moving on.
Yeah.
So, stewardess, so, Damien.
Taylor is gender neutral, sir. And also... Mm-hmm. I guess you could use seamstress if you really want to, but I don't know if that's anything different. But he's a tailor. He's also a dressmaker because he makes dresses. That is clearly his niche in tailoring, right?
I wasn't trying to go, only women can make dresses. I genuinely thought if a woman made pants for me, I'd still call her a dressmaker. I've never called... Yes. In fairness, I've never called any woman...
You wear a lot of kilts, so they would be dressmakers.
I've never called any woman that is making any clothes for me anything other than dressmaker, and any man anything other, even though they make both inside of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I just never thought about it. Never mind.
Yeah. Sexist motherfucker.
I'm going to roll down my sleeve and to cover my ignorance.
Back to talking about Woodcock.
It's showing up. Right.
So yes, this film came out at the end of last year. I technically kind of want to call it the 28th film, if only so I can talk about it again at the end of the year to say it's my favorite movie.
Feel free. I'll allow it.
Hmm?
I will allow it.
Okay. The film plays out as this straight romance story where it's really about these strong-willed people kind of coming together in these weird ways, because Daniel Day-Lewis' character is an eccentric man, if we want to be generous, with many quirks. And Alma, who he meets one day in a restaurant in the countryside of England, we discover is more than just a pretty face, right? She herself is also very strong-willed and has her own ideas of how her life should be, and isn't necessarily quiet about it, while at the same time you can see the two making relative compromises from time to time to make a relationship work. And in the middle of all of this, we have Daniel Day-Lewis's sister, Cyril, who helps with the business of the...
She's his sister.
Hmm?
Fair enough. Nope, continue.
Oh. Okay.
She was his old so-and-so. No, I just thought they were business partners. Like, she was the one person. She, like, ran the actual business.
She did. She was also his sister.
Didn't realize
that. Okay. Yeah. I thought you guys were telling me I was wrong, and I'm like, wait, was that wrong?
Yeah, didn't pick up on that.
They said it, but it was... No, it's fairly out in the open. You really should know that.
Yeah. I've watched this movie too.
I did only just watch this movie today, so maybe that helps.
That's real bad.
Yeah.
Cyril, played by Leslie Manville, who helps to run the business, and has one of my favorite moments in this movie, in which he says, "Don't pick a fight with me, you won't come out alive."
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's my favorite part of the entire movie.
Stop it, my ears don't want to hear it or some shit like that. She has some of the best one-liners so in this movie.
It is delightful.
She's like, so should I just get rid of them? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay, let's move on.
You and me and her are boring me to tears.
So much of this movie, I feel, hinges on us talking about the ending of the movie.
I agree, yeah.
Because for me,
absolutely not.
Taking away the ending of this movie plays out like a generic romance film that was filmed by a great director with some great scenes, but is just that. It doesn't feel like this massive thing. And I don't want to just say it out immediately for anyone listening who hasn't yet seen the film.
I'm glad that you said that because I feel the same way. There's something specific that I think is my favorite thing about the movie that I literally cannot talk about because it's definitely a huge spoiler.
So I want to ask you guys if there's anything you feel you want to talk about before I break this lid.
Well, you know, at least I will go first because I have a feeling that you guys probably will oppose me on this, but I'm actually, and I'm not going to go out there with this one, but I'm not sure how much I like this movie.
Watch it again.
And that's
I'm sure how much I like this
movie. Yeah. And that's the first time I've even entertained not liking a movie by Paul Thomas Anderson. He's spectacular.
Did you like Inherent Vice?
I have not watched all of that movie. I still love that movie.
You know what PTA means? Please try again. And with that, the Onion Movie Podcast is over. I've been Damien. I'm out.
Guns are being thrown in the air, by the way. So you're absolutely right. Or at least I had the same feelings that you had, which was that without a certain key aspect of this movie that comes very late in the game, and this is a fairly long movie, there's nothing wrong with the movie, but it just doesn't feel as special as some of his other movies have felt to me. And, you know, we can start off with the Damien special, which is, they worked hard.
Both teams played.
You know, they put in a good effort. But during most of this movie, the actual thread that you essentially follow through, right? The thread of the opera,
right?
More
so in puns.
Okay, right.
Keep it going.
That we follow through. Mm-hmm. Isn't particularly enticing. So we all agree that we love Cyril. We love the sister. And that doesn't change. But she is a supporting role. And she doesn't shine as much as one might want. Right?
What the fuck is she?
But when she does... That wasn't her line, but yes.
I know, but she does, was a great one.
I know it was. When she does come in to play, it brightens your life, right? It brightens the screen. It's great. Daniel Day-Lewis does what Daniel Day-Lewis does, which is to fucking murder every role that he has. So
I hear that he's good at acting.
He's retired though.
Maybe he should rethink this whole retirement thing, since the actors that are left, some of them are real not good.
Well, seeing as he only does generally a movie every 5 to 10 years,
no, I'll take that.
We can just
pretend
like he's not retired, right?
We just haven't seen the latest
exactly
movie he did,
or... Yeah. So and the thing is, right? So these two characters in particular, of course, Daniel Day is the main character, one of the two main characters. And he is a great character himself because he shares some of what Cyril has, which is, but he's essentially the finicky artist, right? That has all of these weird idiosyncrasies and these needs, these unreasonable needs that he requires to be fulfilled. And he goes around doing all sorts of craziness. But even as I'm saying this, he may not be restrained in the character, but what is shown to you in this film is a restrained version of that, right? So, you know he's an asshole, or he can be an asshole. You know that he, you know, he's a philanderer, and he's the kind of guy that he gets to the party, or if he were a band, a rock band, you wouldn't think that it.
Jesus Christ! This analogy is falling to.
Oh, but yeah, essentially what I'm trying to say is that he is a peculiar cat. And it's done well, but it's done in a restrained way. And so much so that you almost watch him throughout this movie and you say, well, it gets kind of boring in a way. And as you say, Andrew, this becomes very much... Straight-laced is not the right word because nothing really about this relationship that he has is straight-laced, but it's almost presented like a very boring, very straight-laced sort of, and I don't even want to say courtship because it starts off and it develops in such a strange way.
It's almost as if Paul Thomas Anderson himself double-stitched the plot so that we would get to the end and want to come right back to the beginning to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And so that, I think, threw me off. That made me not really care too much about the movie while the movie was going on. But then, towards the middle, a little bit after the middle of the movie, the relationship changed a little bit. And there were some things that you saw, like, from Alma's side, that were really interesting. Some things that she did, like the, and also the fact that essentially you started to have the sort of jealous thing come out, right? Well, not jealous. Let me pull back. Really, what it is the age discrepancy, right? You saw that interplay, which was essentially the tried and true, I'm young, I want to go out and have fun. I'm old, I want to sit at my yard and be antisocial as usual. That kind of stuff happened. But then what that developed into, what that acrimony engendered in the two of them, I think is really what makes or breaks this movie for somebody. And I think it does for me. And definitely PTA is a must. I must try again on this one. Because I really do think that it's almost like a Fight Club effect, where the second time around, there's so much more that you can appreciate. And I'll leave it at that, because there is a lot more to this conversation that we need to have after we turn on the spoiler glasses. But Damien, do you have anything to say before we move on to that?
No, not really. Most of my gripes about the how the movie's paced and what you're shown in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it, most of my, let's say, anger towards this movie.
Oh, so you don't like this movie?
I do not like this movie. Because for an hour and 40, this movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes. For an hour and 50 minutes,
mm-hmm.
this movie is one specific movie. It is a movie where a man who is a real piece of garbage convinces a girl that should find nothing remarkable about this man outside of the fact that he's rich. Enticing. They have nothing in common at all whatsoever. And she does the thing that young women do, which is, oh, this man that has all these things finds me special, so I like him. But at the first time she sees how he reacts at, say, breakfast, right? And then she sees, like, all of the things that she's used to and that is normal to her. He's like, no, no, no. It's this constant slapping off the hand. Like, every single thing that she does, he's like, don't do that. And even from the very beginning, he's like, show me a picture of your mother. And you're like, I don't. It's not on me. It's at my yard. And she's like, always carry a picture of your mother. Which you're like, listen, I know this man is making you feel special, but something is clearly wrong with his head parts. And the movie proceeds, and you're like, at this turn, she should have gone, I've seen just about enough of this. And there's a point when he turns her away early in the movie, and they just move on from, like, he's like, you know, go back to whatever shithole countries you come from.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just there in the house. And you're just like, all right. She really does love him, but he is a piece of garbage. But you slowly see him turning and turning and turning. And then at the very end of the movie, the thing that we're about to talk about happens. And it's supposed to color the rest of the movie. But it didn't for me. In the positive. Mm-hmm. It only colored the rest of the movie for me in the negative, because it felt like for the second half of this movie, he wasted my time. Showing me what they did at the end, in the middle of the movie, I think would have been a better effect. It would have been less dramatic, but it would help me to understand the true nature of this.
Actually, you know what? I agree with you to a certain degree, but not exactly in the way that you think. So I think you are saying, and well, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I think you're essentially saying you could have the movie kind of be the same movie,
mm-hmm.
but put the end in the middle and then essentially have it almost like a flash forward. So you know what is going to happen, mm-hmm. and then you pull back and you appreciate certain aspects of it. I disagree with you on that point. I would say let's essentially take this whole movie and squeeze it into the first half,
mm-hmm.
and then continue after the end,
yeah,
so that I can see just how
crazy
this gets, right?
Yeah, just how crazy
that is what I would like. That would make this a really great movie.
I mean, your idea would, like, right, my idea would have made this a more enjoyable movie for me. Your idea would have made a better movie. Even if they did what I wanted them to do, this movie would still be an okay movie.
Anyway,
so we
need to talk about this, because right now I'm sure everybody's like, okay, we're not sure what the thing about the what and the place, and too many, we're playing the pronoun game. So so Andrew, you need to make the spoiler alert now.
Right, Alma is the mother of dragons.
God damn it, Damien. I didn't say yet. So anyways, if you haven't watched this movie, it's out now on demand. Go watch it now. Come back. We're going to be talking about the end of this movie. So throughout the whole of this movie, as Damien was discussing, these are monsters. And you kind of see Alma being almost played with, and you get to the point where there's actually a scene where Cyril asks Woodcock.
I love that scene.
The same question she asked him at the beginning of the movie, because we see a different woman at the beginning of the movie, where you see Woodcock frustrated and just annoyed, and she Alma just asks Alpha. Him, like, should I get rid of Alma? Because you get this feeling that Alma is, like the other woman, eventually just going to get boring to Reynolds, and he will move on from her and doesn't want to deal with it anymore. However, Alma decides to begin cooking for Reynolds, and on occasion, doing what she likes to call slowing him down, right? Because he gets too excited, and he needs to slow down a little bit. And by that, she basically poisons him and makes him ill for a night or two as he has to reset, and then everything is fine. And the whole of the movie, up until the very end, plays it as such that this is a secret, right? This is something we, the viewers, and Alma knows, and no one else knows what's going on, until the very end of the film, where it becomes plainly obvious that Reynolds is very much aware of what's going on, and this is pretty much a consensual poisoning.
You know, a thing that happens.
Yeah, a thing. Damon, you've been looking for a wife. This is what they do to you, right?
That is what I've been asking for in my request.
So, by the way,
no one has answered.
By the way, is it just that I'm slow? Or are you supposed to kind of know that she's poisoning him all of this time? Because, so I only realized when they, so I knew they did a montage of her picking mushrooms from before and asking about which one was poisonous, but I didn't catch on until after that. They actually were very overt with it at one stage where she chops it up and puts it in the tea. And that is when, Cyril drinks the tea, and I actually thought there was a mistake because she drinks some tea and then clears her throat, and I said, oh no, I think she poisoned cereal by accident or something. But so I thought that it only happened twice, that time and then once in the end, and I thought that the other times he slowed down or whatever, he was just, you know, an artist.
Sick.
So because I didn't realize there was sickness at that point. I thought he was just sick, like depressed.
Right.
Right. So Damian, Andrew, are you guys saying that I just didn't catch on to that?
You just didn't catch
on. Okay, cool. Yeah. But yeah, because, and by the way, Andrew, Damian, I love that about this movie.
The reveal is impressive. That,
and the reveal is impressive, but also
I like the reveal, not because of the fact that it does that to us, but because it's one of these teased reveals where it's a scene in which when it starts playing, you go like, oh, he knows what's happening. And then you watch him, and the way he acts for a second, it's almost like he's now going, I know what's happening, and I'm testing you. Are you going to tell me the truth? And then it goes another step higher in the reveal to be like, no, we both know what's happening. And no, this is true love.
Absolutely. And so the thing, even before we get to this reveal, right, for me is I love, and once I started to realize how fucking crazy Alma is, it became so much more interesting to me, this relationship. Because, and what I liked about it too was, and so you have to sit with me, right? So as I say, I am slow. So I didn't catch on until they showed the thing. And that happened, I think, right before Cyril asked a question. And when Cyril asked a question, she didn't ask it. She didn't just ask it like in the matter-of-fact way that she asked in the first scene. She asked it and then she added a rider. She said, listen, by the way, just fucking figure this out, because I really like this woman. She's the greatest. And you need to stop fucking around.
Right?
And at that stage, like, the end of the movie, if I now rewind back to that stage of the movie, I'm now appreciating a lot more that essentially this acceptance that she's gotten from Cyril is almost like a way of saying, yes, she's also a crazy person. We're three crazy people together. who love crazy things, can we please? And that is what I think would make this movie even better, is for all of that to be out in the open, to be like...
So now, Douglas, think about it.
Yeah.
If they reveal to you midway through the movie,
mm-hmm.
they're not married, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he's sick and he's dropped down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctor comes in and he tells the doctor to go look for your mother. And if after that... After he
recovers, but that's the first time,
right?
So that's what I'm saying, because no, he was. They were talking right. about him being sick before that, you know, which yeah, is no. why, which is why I said that.
No, that's when he dropped down.
That's the first time that I knew.
When you're seeing Alma talk to us and talk about him being sick, that's right. the movie kind of flash forward into like a moment where they're just to that
right.
last sickness.
Yeah, that's the last right. scene. Yeah,
and it's just cutting through the movie where she's just explaining the whole right. thing of he needs to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, kind of foreshadowing the whole reveal.
But right after he's sick the first time, and they run out the doctor,
yeah.
and he recovers or whatever. If soon after that you realize that, oh no, the thing that just happened is not him getting sick out of the clear blue sky.
That one you knew that he got sick because she put mushrooms in his tea.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if they explain mm-hmm. then. That everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, all right, crazy people. But then if you see him, he's like, all right, then I'm going to marry her. And you're like, you people are all crazy. So that when he, towards the end, is like, I don't want her in the house. And she casts a long shadow. And this, like, when all of that is happening, you're like, where are you going to find another lunatic to get this? Like, these people don't grow on trees. You've lost your mind.
But so you know what?
At the very, very end,
uh-huh.
when they're downstairs and she's making the final thing, you're like,
yeah.
oh, he also realizes
yeah.
that there's three lunatic people in the world.
Yeah.
And that is, but to save that till the very
But the thing
end,
about it is, right, I don't necessarily agree with you because I like that build up. And let me tell you why. So,
build up would still work in the middle.
Well, I prefer to know after and then see what happens after. That would be my movie, right? But hold on. So what I really like, right? And how I interpreted it and what made me sort of get intrigued and into the movie after a while was how I read it was she saw this man running away from her or starting to say, you know what? Maybe I should kick her out. And all of a sudden she said, here's what I'm going to do. Because this is the most reasonable thing for me to do, because
mm-hmm.
I'm a crazy fucking person. I'm going to take mushrooms and I am going to put him on death's door, and this is going to make him love me, right? And he doesn't need to know because this is my secret. I'm mm-hmm. just a crazy person. That's what I thought at that time. And that concept of me doing this, you not knowing, I'm just desperately trying to make this situation work for me.
Mm-hmm.
That
would still work in the middle.
Still works. Stop it, fuckery.
Would still
right?
work. Exactly.
No,
how
no,
you're
it wouldn't
it in the
because
middle.
If you know that he knows, then that's
no,
not
no,
what
don't
that's not what
that
happens.
He knows in the middle.
Uh huh.
Just point out that she is poisoning.
No, but they have done that. They
Hold
did
on.
That at that stage.
Hold on.
Okay.
And then, after he, the first time he is like, go back to the shithole that you come from,
mm-hmm.
then have her reveal to the rest of us
mm-hmm.
that he also knew, that everybody, sorry, I'm hitting the mic, that everybody knows.
But hold on, when was the first time he told her to go back?
He told
Was it when he, when she was in the room with Cyril and...
No, it was
no?
when
okay.
she cooked him dinner
when
for the first time, which was a non-poisonous dinner.
Exactly.
When she was like, I just want to do something nice for you.
Yeah,
and
but
he,
that's...
He has,
and
that,
that's the
he
thing.
Has that line that I love.
But that is before when she poisoned him. So you can't...
No, Douglas.
You're talking about changing chronology? Is
Douglas,
that what you're saying?
Douglas, we're going to take out the first... time he's sick and the doctor comes in, I'm throwing that shit out of
No,
the
but that's after. That's not before. That
is, Douglas, wait, hold what on. What are you talking about? Hold on.
Douglas, I am... The scene where he sees his mother in the corner...
Yes?
I am throwing that out of the movie. That is the movie I want. I don't want any other...
Yeah.
The first time she cooks for him,
uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't want this, and I don't want my food this way, mm-hmm. and whatever. Mm-hmm. I want the next scene.
Yes.
To be her, because he threatens for her to leave and yeah. go back to her shithole country.
Yeah.
I want the very next scene
uh-huh.
to be the end scene.
No.
Where she ignores what he says
uh-huh.
and cooks the poison food for him.
Yes.
And then you realize that, oh, you're like, oh, she's willing to poison this food.
Yes.
But then you realize, just like how the end plays out, that she is trying to poison him, but he knows.
No, but what I'm telling you, Damien, and this is how, maybe I'm remembering it wrong,
yeah.
but I don't think so because I just watched it a couple hours ago. That scene mm. where he tells her to go back to her country
yeah.
is before the first scene that she poisons him.
Douglas,
which means then that you wouldn't have what I want, which is I'm telling you what mm-hmm. I want, you know. I like and want there to be a section in this movie where you think she is acting on her own
okay.
because she's a desperate, crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want there to be... I like the fact that there are layered reveals, right? There is the reveal that I am a crazy person and I'm trying to compete with these other crazy people. And then a little later, but I think maybe this is too late in the movie, mm-hmm. in the timing of the movie,
right.
that you realize, wait, no, we're all crazy people together. I like that there's that layered reveal, right?
Okay.
That's what started to make me say, whoa, maybe this isn't just a shitty movie.
Yeah, and then the
movie right?
ends. Like, no.
So, no, but that happened a little bit before the end. That happened.
They pushed
a right?
stroller after that, and then the movie ended.
No, again, you are mixing up the two scenes. There's one scene.
About the very end of the movie.
I know, but I wasn't talking about the very end of
no,
the movie.
I
was still talking about the middle of the movie.
No, we are.
Or the.
Slow down.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up the end part uh-huh. is because you're like, at the very end, you realize the mm-hmm. second layer
yeah, yeah,
of the reveal.
Yeah.
Right. But you're like, oh, maybe this isn't just a stupid movie.
No, because that's not where I said this isn't a stupid movie.
Oh, you're talking about the middle.
The middle. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I misunderstood.
And that's where things started to kind of pick up for me.
She slowly poisoned him was just like, met him.
No. Well, for me, what it was, and it wasn't...
I thought she was doing it for the money.
Yeah, so it wasn't as strong. And this is why I said that really the end was what really accelerated everything. But at least there was a note at this point where I'm like, wait, maybe there's something going on, right? I agree with you. It didn't become my favorite movie, right? And if the reveal wasn't there at the end, I'd probably be like, yo, fuck this movie, right? But it, I know, it at least got me to the stage where I'm like, oh, wait, let's see what happens here.
I know.
This movie is too long. Well, it's not that it's too long, but it spends too long on the wrong things. And then at the end, that's when you realize, whoa, both of them know. Now, as I said, I need to squeeze that into, like, I'll give them an hour, right? 1 hour where, let's say, 30 to 45 minutes in, you get the first reveal. Then at the end of the hour, you get the second reveal. And then you have a glorious hour mm-hmm.
of them
two
people,
other people. Just if you want, if listen, I don't
Korea.
Think that can work. Perhaps we can career the shit out of this.
Korea.
But I'm thinking of a personal career. I'm thinking of just between them, and maybe they bring in
escalation.
Yeah, escalation. Exactly, and not
killing.
Even just she, right? Maybe
right.
he joins in. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of a sudden there's a weird triangle with Cyril, right. like that. Could be a great, great mm-hmm. movie. But with the movie that we have, right?
People hanging from chandeliers.
Yep. With the movie that we have, I will go to bat. Sometimes it happens. I will go to bat for this final scene as being... It's definitely the best thing in the movie, but it's so good. Mm-hmm. So much so that I haven't watched it the second time. And maybe like you, I will watch it a second time and be like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. Fuck this movie. But it's so good that I know I need to watch it a second time. Because it, I, knowing, and as you say, if you had it earlier on, knowing what is going on might essentially give you the ability to love and to appreciate and to realize what is happening and to essentially see it and love it and like the movie. But knowing that these two people know exactly what is going on, and as bad as he gets, as much as he says, you know, I got to your shithole country, or even I love that scene, Damian, where he's in a meeting, he sits down in Cyril's office and he's facing Cyril and he's telling her, you know, this woman has to go. Mm-hmm. She casts a long shadow on this house.
Right.
She has no fucking class.
Right.
How dare she? This is the woman he married, like, I'm assuming it's a couple months ago because it's not too far after in the movie. But, and she walks in and she's just standing up behind him, listening mm-hmm. to him say this. And the best part of that scene is not that.
Yeah.
It is that Cyril is sitting there saying, yeah, me and you,
mm-hmm.
I'm letting you hear this. And I think we have I feel like they have a connection, right? Where essentially Cyril's like, yeah, I'm no longer all on your team, Mr. Taylor Man.
Yeah.
I am now doing dressmaker. Everything. Yes, Mr. Dressmaker.
You're on your own.
Me and this woman uh-huh. are going to rule this house. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, you can go to your shithole country. Right? That is how I feel. And that's what I loved about that scene, is that it had all of that undertone just so subtly. And, you know, for that to happen, and then for her to... You almost at the end of that, when she says, okay, I'm going... You can almost see her deciding that it's time for another mushroom attack, right? And it's just, it's so good. And then even at the end, when after all of the pretense is gone, all of the facade is gone, and he happily says to his wife, listen, boy, why don't you call that young doctor friend of yours? Because... I know you counted right, but let's just, you know, get some help. You know, and he does it very happily and smiling, and he's like, you know, kiss me before I get sick and shit. That that scene just turns you right back around on that movie.
Last thing I'll say before Andrew starts jerking off all over this movie. Watching this movie a second time,
mm-hmm.
knowing what happens at the end and starting over, it doesn't do the thing, at least not for me, the thing that you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
The thing everyone loves about Fight Club is that movie is amazing. And then you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, and it's a secondary thing.
Right. It's the same thing with Kaiser Soze. What's The Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects, yeah.
When you get to the end of the movie, you're like, oh shit. But that is because you enjoyed the entire ride mm-hmm. that you were on. And then it turns it around like, fuck, this movie is good. The ride I was on for 2 hours.
Strong point, sir.
Was muy el boring. Like, the movie, like, is slow. And it feels... deliberately. It doesn't feel like someone made a mistake, like they were trying to tell this grander story. Like the time period that this movie takes place over is not a long time. It's not like it's years and years, and so the movie just takes its time with these two people. It feels like you're watching their every step. Like it jumps ahead, but it is such a ponderous movie. And then they're like, oh, but here's a crazy thing here. And you're like, all right, I'm marking down the first sign of crazy. And you see 2-3 more crazy things. You're like, all right, fine. And at the end, you're like, oh. But all this movie was for me was waiting for the sister to come on screen so that I could stare at her and go, boy, she's doing real work in this movie. Because I know Daniel Day can act, but the thing that he's representing in this movie is a boring, petulant man that sews a lot. That is not, it is not interesting to watch a man sew and draw. That is not a thing that I sit down and go, I can't wait for the next movie where a man so's close. This one is so... it's always been my favorite genre movie, watching men sew. It's never happened. So, you're like, what is the thing that is driving this movie? And it is this relationship. But they fall in love immediately. He's still a piece of garbage for the entirety of the movie. And then at the very end, they're like, Damien, here. Here's something. And you're like, all right, now that I know that, let me watch about this movie. But nothing about the movie changes. Instead of doing the thing, you're just like, oh. Like, they could have just told me this early so that I could have known what is happening. So when I get to the end, I'm not just like... The second viewing is the one that made me go, I don't think I like this movie at all. Because the first time you see the reveal, you're like, oh, I need to watch this again. But the second time, you're like, oh, I wasted 2 more hours and it's the same fucking stupid. Now that I know what everything is, then it's just a waste of my goddamn time. And that is what this movie felt like. Incredible actors wasting my goddamn time. That's what this movie is. Because this is not a love story for the ages. This is boring. This is what this movie is.
This is hilarious. Essentially, we're the three bears on this mm-hmm. podcast today. So, Papa Bear, Andrew.
Hi. Tell me. How's it going?
What's going on with this movie?
Whoever thought of the word cheek should be hung and quartered.
All right, so let's all go through the 10 great lines for the movie.
I don't give a tinker fuck what you think, Damien.
So now 8 more.
Didn't I tell you to fuck off?
All right, 7 more.
This is for the hungry boy.
Six.
All right, cool.
Everything on. The sister says. And then we still have 2 more hours to watch. Great.
So, I'm actually quite surprised. I didn't expect this much vitriol for Paul Thomas Anderson. I wasn't sure, but oh my god, I really thought I was safe with this pick. I'm sad. But truly, I love this movie. And I love this movie for so many reasons. I love this movie for all the reasons that I love a lot of other Paul Thomas Anderson movies. That slow, methodical tone to it, where... And I feel it's well used in this film for so many of the scenes. You talk about something like, for example, the first breakfast scene with Almo, where I don't know which sound engineer thought of this, but oh my goodness, the buttering of toast can never be louder and be that great. But even looking at how these characters exist in their world, these guys exist almost in a stationary manner 99% of the time. So to have a movie that every scene, one after another, feels like these elongated moments, even to our end scene where we're having Alma prepare the food and start pouring the water and start... Everything just feels stretched out, and with the camera just there, and it felt right. And I love the way that Paul Thomas Anderson somehow is able to make all of these just feel soothing, if is the best word. Especially using Johnny Greenwood's great score for this movie. We haven't talked about the music, but the music in this movie is so fucking good. I also love all of
the... Was there a rap song in the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need 100 black coffee.
I also like some of the smaller things about this movie, like the way that food is used in this movie, and not just for the poison scenes kind of stuff, but you can see like the fluctuations of Reynolds' attitude based on just the food that's being used in scenes. In the beginning, when we have the other woman that we don't even remember her name, she's presenting him with a Danish, and he scoffs at it and says, "I said no more smudgy foods." Later on in the film, we see very much while he's in love with Alma, he's eating a Danish and he's happy. You see the scene where Alma brings him tea and he's working hard and upset and starts barking at her. In another one of my favorite lines of the movie, the tea is leaving, but the interruption is staying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does have some good lines. Some real douchebag level statements.
And of course, there's even the scene where they first meet, where he orders this preposterous amount of food, right? Which brings on the whole thing of the hunger boy. And it's just a really small detail that I really love about this movie. I won't even bother to talk about just the general look of this movie and how it's just gorgeously shot. Mm-hmm.
Both teams played hard.
Huh? Yeah,
both teams played hard.
I love the acting. I love the way it plays. I love you guys kept harping on the timing of the reveal and what the movie, how it was going, but I feel that it's probably the best way they could have done this movie, because what do you do after that, right? Do you make a
we explain
film?
To you, yes.
but that's a
no, to be honest with you, Andrew, how and me and Damon are clearly aligned on this mm-hmm. much, right? As to how you fix it is a different matter, mm-hmm. but me and Damon agree that the thing about this movie is for three quarters of it, it's just a regular movie, and there's nothing special about it. And actually, it's a long regular movie, which means at the end, by the time you get to the first reveal, even you're tuckered out. You're like, why am I still watching this? Mm-hmm. There's nothing great about this. There's nothing even really that good. Yeah. It's just two people. It's just an asshole taking advantage of a young woman, right? Exactly. Yeah. And then you start to get a couple of reviews and you're like, wait, is something, this could be good. And then the movie ends. And that's a problem with this movie, right? So you never, and Damien is right to say that the difference between this movie and A Fight Club is that even before the reveal, you love the movie. And I have to tell you, Andrew, before the reveal, I did not love this movie. I was definitely at odds.
You're allowed to be wrong a few times a year.
Ooh.
This movie feels like Lady in Water.
All right, I wouldn't go that first, far.
I'm talking about how the reveal works. It feels like an M. Night reveal. Where like, the actual Lady in Water. Sorry.
You see, Damien, you can't do that
not
for like
Lady
in
Water part
then,
2.
And
my apologies.
Assume we'll go back
this
to
movie
normal.
Is an M. Night reveal. Where you wade through trash. And then he's like, ta-da! Right. Oh, you like them apples.
Exactly. And the thing is, because I truly do believe that even if you start the movie after this movie starts and you have a little bit of intro, all of a sudden you get some reveals and then the movie's about two people fucking with each other. Maybe even three people fucking with each other.
That is a good ass movie.
That is a great movie.
It's a good ass movie you described. That movie is Stoker.
You see, here lies the thing that this is the thing that upsets me the most. is like, and I know you guys are mostly fucking with it, but you can't make every movie into Korea.
So okay.
Incorrect.
So okay, Andrew.
All movies will mean nothing.
I just
factually inaccurate.
I just want to be clear. Using the word Korea is intended to fuck with you.
Yes.
However, I am 100% behind the thing that I want. I want to see what happens after you realize that these people are actually consensually doing this to each other. Because then there is... that's what excites me about this movie. And I know that you are fine with watching a pretty movie. And to be honest, sometimes I am as well, because that's why I love The Great Beauty so goddamn much. Sure. Because there's, and Damien will agree, because I don't think you like that movie, Damien.
Oh God, that movie.
But there's that movie in a way is kind of like this movie. But, you know, every once in a while, something just has to hit you in the right way, and that one did. And this one clearly did not for me. But it had the seed for a great fucking movie. And it did not... It did not take the ball and move it to where it needed to go.
But I mean, like, I get that you guys like a type of movie, And you want every movie to be that type of movie.
No, right? No, but Andrew, fuck up. Andrew, before you go on, I just want to be clear, right? Because you sound like you think I want them to start karate chopping each other, right?
And no, I don't want that,
right? And I don't, it doesn't necessarily need to be like, thing after thing after thing immediately. There can be some tension, you know. But the thing about this, Andrew, is that there is no tension created in the first hour and a half of this movie because you don't know there's anything to be tense about. So if you... And so maybe I'm actually...
throw out of the house.
Actually, maybe I'm supporting Damien's point that I don't like by saying this. But if you show the reveal earlier on and know that there's something you should be tense about, all of a sudden this movie can become great, right? You can feel it. You don't feel it in the first three quarters of this movie because all you think is, oh, this is an asshole and this is a young lady and that's it, right? So without that ridiculousness, without this huge sword of Damascus being held over somebody's head, this movie is useless.
This movie is Lady and the Tramp.
You know what? You know what, Douglas?
Yeah.
You've convinced me. This movie is bad.
No, Douglas was convincing himself. Douglas is trying to lie. Douglas was trying to look at the movie how you were looking at it, but you failed miserably. Like, maybe David is right.
No, I definitely want to watch this movie again, but the more I think about it,
uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you enjoyed 2 hours of that movie. You remember that part? And then at the very end, you're like, oh, this movie's so much better. So good. I love it so much. Andrew, you brought up the music in this movie. I don't remember a goddamn song in this. That is how much I dislike this movie. I will accept that the movie is beautiful.
It is pretty. It's very pretty.
PTA doesn't know how to do it any other way. And I realize that the acting is also tremendous. That was never in question. You saw the list,
team?
Mm-hmm. Right? You saw the list of people, and you went, "All right, cool."
And the dialogue is great.
That is all to be expected out of. That is the bare minimum to expect out of any movie, right? But then there's this thing called a story, and if you hide the interesting part of your story 2 hours into your movie and think that I, Damien, I'm going to go, yeah, this movie is tremendous.
Damien, I really love that scene though.
Douglas picks up the plate
and smells it. He sniffs it and he puts it down and he smiles.
Right.
He cuts it slowly. He picks it. Damien,
this thing
draws out the tension of that.
Yeah. Douglas, a lot of this movie is tremendous. Here's the problem though. The thing you love is that the very end of this movie, there's a movie in front of you. That is my issue with this movie. I have no... what's the one when he's getting the oil out of the ground?
There Will Be Blood.
Right. I have rewatched There Will Be Blood, right? I didn't like that movie to begin with. But subsequent viewings, I'm like, I can't see now. Because at first it was a burning fire. And then I've watched it. As I've gotten older and gone, all right, I can see why people... I still don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I at least see where people... What the thing that people enjoy about the movie, right? Is watching this man, who is the worst person in the world, inflict himself upon everybody. He's basically a hurricane passing through the lives of everyone that he touches in the movie. I'm like, all right, fine. It's a little slow, but I get what this movie is. This movie, though, second watching, it is exactly what the first movie, the first viewing was. And I got to the end and I went, you sons of bitches. And Andrew, like, we joke a lot about the Korean-ness of movies. But the reason we do that is because they understand what it is that people want out of movies. Like, they break down the movie into, this is what people are here for. So let us focus on that. They don't waste time. There's no dilly and none. They take the John Wick approach, but to any other movie they choose. Right? Stoker is not about the girl murdering everybody throughout the movie. But from that movie starts, they're like, listen, something is wrong with these people. And they spend the entirety of the movie showing you just how wrong something is with these people. And at no point, even when they get to the end, you're not like, oh yeah, you know, I can watch this back and know. No, they know what it is I want. A love story that at the very end, you're like, these people are lunatics. It's not what I wanted. Right? It feels, honestly, it feels cheap to me. That is the reason why at the second viewing I was so upset, because it feels like he got to the end of the movie and was like, I need something to end this movie. This movie needs to end on a high note, because this movie is pretty plain, right? This is a shitty version of Young Victoria. So I need something else, something to spice up this movie. I have it. Let's make these people Korean. And then he failed. That's just how... Andrew, I'm not saying you shouldn't like the movie. I've never said that. And I can see why especially you would love this movie. I had no doubt in my mind. The second I saw a trailer for this movie, I could have told you you would love this movie. Never any doubt. And all of the reasons that you like the movie are things that I know you would have loved about this movie. Paul Thomas Anderson is like your perfect director, because he builds this world that Andrew can live in. Like, every single detail that he spends time and thinks about is things Andrew will sit down and he's like, I like the way they show you his process and the detailing in the stitching. Like, Andrew will love all of that. But what Andrew won't say anything about, and it's a thing I've called him on many times, is the story part of the movie. Andrew is able to swipe past that and live in the world and, like, bask in the thing, like, the entirety of the movie, which is a thing sometimes I'm envious of, because... Even one of our favorite movies, Furiosa. What's the name of that movie?
The name of that movie is
Furiosa.
Furiosa.
Fury Road.
Right. When Andrew was talking about, you know, he talked about Gaston and he was like, and the rest of the world must have been so amazing because, you know, there's a bullet town and there's a Gaston. And Andrew in his head was like imagining the rest of this world. A thing I've never ever, like, they didn't show it in the movie. They said the words.
I have a quick question.
I never at any point.
I have a quick question for you, Damien. Since you're bringing this up, and this is going to be a completely aside.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now that you're talking about it this way, there's something that comes to mind talking about video games.
Yes.
Right? There's something in video games that people tend to call emergent gameplay.
Right.
Right? Which is where they build up systems... that you can use that will run, that you basically create your own narratives, right? So we can agree that for the most part, video games have horseshit stories.
Very bad.
Right? Like, for even the ones that people kind of glorify and go crazy over, they're still tend to be bad.
Yeah.
Right? However, we love gameplay in video games, right? And we love the way that systems and gameplay end up creating our own crazy stories of things that have happened. Say, for example, me texting Douglas to say, Douglas, you died in XCOM last week.
Right.
Right?
I've never had to send those texts. I never kill anyone.
That in itself is a detail that the game is able to give you of its own story based on the world that it creates. Isn't that the very same thing you're throwing away from these movies?
The difference is I am in full control of the video game. So the world building, the story that I'm telling in the video games is the story that I have come up with. So I look at the systems and then decide for myself what it is that I'm going to do with these systems for my entertainment. And I agree with you there. In movies, though, the story is not in my control. Right? And so, I'm not saying you're not supposed... Andrew, I'm not saying you're not supposed to do the thing you're doing. I am saying I've never done it. Right? Remember... The movie that made me realize that that is a thing that you do, and I didn't know that people did this at all, was Prometheus. Prometheus was the first time I really saw someone watch the same movie that I watched, and then was able to build a larger world that wasn't in the movie, that was never, at least in my viewing, explained in the movie, but you built a world around what they did. And you are able to enjoy that movie because of it. That is a thing that you can do. That is a thing I either don't have the imagination for or I've not matured enough yet to get done. But I do not do that. I only pay attention to exactly what they say. And so nothing about... But I can see... I see you... Talking to you all these years, I see movies that allow you to build... a bigger world. Like, even with movies that are very sparse, you're still able to. But directors like Paul Thomas Anderson and Steven Spielberg are directors that allow you, because they put so much additional detail all over the place. Little things that Andrew can appreciate that I just blow right past. Like, none of it means anything to me. And so, hearing you describe this movie, I understand that all of those things got you. But all I saw for a solid 2 hours was a rote, boring movie with incredible acting. And then right at the very end, there was like a gotcha.
So, I just want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird that up until the point where it got... it was evident that these people were like super crazy. I thought, and I had to actually pause the movie and check on Wikipedia, that this was a true story.
The only thing about this movie that got me that way was every time I heard them talk about the House of Woodcock and his name is Woodcock, I kept flashbacking in my head to that movie starring Billy Bob Thornton, Mr. Woodcock. Do you guys remember that movie?
Oh my god. Wasn't he a coach?
Yes, and he was an asshole. He was an asshole PE teacher.
Yeah. No, I did not.
Oh, is that like, it's called something like Horrible People or something?
No,
like that?
It's called Mr. Woodcock.
Mr. Woodcock.
Is that the one with the twin in it, Napoleon Dynamite?
No, it's the one is where Denzel Napoleon Washington Dynamite? Brings a football team called the Titans.
Oh, is it Titans?
The name of the
movie is Mr. No, I'm trying to remember what the movie actually is.
It's Billy Bob Thornton with Stifler, Sean William Scott.
Stifler, okay. Yeah.
And it's basically a terrible movie. Basically... Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, right. And Stifler goes back to the school for some reason and then tries to kill the
teacher. I don't think I ever
actually
watched
it. Yeah, I think I've seen this movie before. Yeah.
For some reason, every time I heard the name, like, that popped up in my head. And I'm like, that shouldn't happen. I should be enjoying this world that Damien doesn't like.
Andrew, Douglas gave himself away a while ago. I don't think he realized it.
Mm-hmm.
He said he thought this movie was a true movie. What are the types of movies you hate most in this
Damien,
world, Douglas?
Damien.
Uh-huh.
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
I was like, this is super boring.
Yeah. About
it
two
has
people.
To be.
This movie better be. Uh-huh. You don't like this movie, dog. You're like staying out of it. You're like, I don't want to be a part of this. Andrew loves this movie. I think I like Paul Thomas Anderson. So by default, I like this movie.
Yep. And like the first, I remember after the first time she poisoned him, I was like, they probably, not that they made it up, but he got poisoned, but they're assuming that she did it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what happened. And then when that last scene came, I was like, whoa, hold on.
I thought this movie was...
Because that could not happen in real
life. Douglas? I know what it's like to not like a movie from one of your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Nolan made a movie
that I had to stare at repeatedly. And every single time, when I shook the thing, do you like this movie? And I shook it hard. It's like, no, dog. And I shook it again. And every single time, the answer still no. And it was a trying time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always assumed that the movie that he'd make that would be bad would be so bad you could see it from space. I didn't realize that he could just make a movie I didn't like. And it was distressing. But you learn in time to just... Like, Andrew did it with Soderbergh. He had to admit at really? Some point.
Which one did he admit to? I've never heard this admission.
Andrew?
I don't like Logan Lucky.
I don't know if I believe him.
That's don't not like one. That movie. Big amount.
That's not the one.
That's not the one?
Uh-huh.
Which one are we talking about?
You remember a movie with a girl... And she's a friend. And she had an experience.
No, I like that movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember he adored that movie.
Yeah. No, that is
you
what
know which Soderbergh movie I hate? I hate Bubble.
Uh-huh.
Bubble's awful. I haven't seen the new Soderbergh movie. I want to watch it.
Unsane? Really?
Yeah. Like...
Soderbergh.
It said Soderbergh on it, so I want to watch it.
That movie... You see, the thing is, that movie is a movie that was all filmed on the phone, and it looks it. So I'm not, not excited about that.
Yeah. That man looked at zillions of dollars of technological advancements and hardware and went, I'm about to shoot it on a $600 piece of garbage. He did it. Hi, Cameron. Yes, Andrew loves this movie a lot, and he's very... I mean, if he were here, I could look at his disappointed face. But he's not, so I'll just picture it in my head. Or he could take a selfie so that I can stop talking to him forever.
Or I can just start sending GIFs from this movie to you.
And, yeah, he thought he had one in the bag. He's like, yes, this is so easy. It's a slam dunk. And, no. Douglas doesn't like this movie. I don't like this movie. And Andrew loves it, so it's Tumper proof.
You're all evil people. And when you die,
uh-huh.
I'm going to dig up the grave and take your tuxedos and sell them. Because you'll be buried in tuxedos.
I'll be burnt at the stake. It's my assumption. For saying women can't be tailors.
Anyways, moving along. You guys been watching anything? Other than playoffs?
Actually,
he just pointed to the playoffs, which, by the way, is playing on my television in the background on mute. Yes. But I've been watching a few things. I've been watching James Bond movies. I watched Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace. And I realized why you two don't like Quantum of Solace.
Because it's not good?
No, it's not. It's because Quantum of Solace is a regular James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And coming after what I think everybody thought of as the best,
what
you know,
still the best
James yeah, Bond. Right, or you know what the concept of what a great James Bond could be.
Absolutely
yeah, not,
not.
Necessarily. I'm not going to say what's the best, but
no.
It was definitely a construct for what a great James Bond could be. That mm-hmm. is not campy. That yeah. Has you know it's has actually a proper director and proper actors and a story that yes is a little bit outlandish but you know doesn't
James
include
story,
like
yeah.
airplanes that turn into submarines
yeah.
you know so yeah Quantum of Solace was not quite it wasn't very campy but it felt like and I realized it felt like a TV episode it felt like you know one of the lesser Bonds one of those that you're just watching and you're like well there's action I'm fine with this and I think that's probably why you guys hated it so much
no I don't I love all James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Even the really, really bad ones.
Yeah.
That one felt like After it came out, all it did was force me to watch more Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt more like what GoldenEye is instead of what Casino Royale is. And so, but I'm always the one since the beginning, because even the final one, what was it, Spectre? You guys were like, I don't think I like this Spectre movie.
When it came out. I turned around on that one, though.
Yeah, no shit, because it's a James Bond movie. They're all fun in the way that James Bond movies and Mission Impossible movies are fun. You know what they are.
Hey, hey, hey. Leave Mission Impossible and alone. When that franchise is perfect.
Yes,
there are no blemishes there.
Yeah. You guys don't like the John Woo.
No, second. No. I've come around on that. Okay. I have come around on it.
Right.
I watched it because I did a similar marathon through a few months ago, I think, or maybe a year ago. And
you realize that John Woo was that movie's killing it.
That movie's good.
Now, is it thoughtful and boring like 3? No.
Fuck you. 3 is great.
Is it all action, no talking? Yes. That's what I come for. The no talking. Number 3 is a crying movie.
Fuck you.
There's crying in that movie. I want no part of it.
Whatever.
That's not what I come for. It was so easy to annoy Andrew with that. For years, I allowed Andrew to think that I hated the Mission Impossible. It was warm and fuzzy. Watching him turn red.
I don't have time for these confrontations.
I remember I honestly watched that movie by accident. So one day, and hopefully my memory is correct, so Andrew can attest to this if it's true or not. One day I'm driving in the car with Andrew beside me. I don't know why we are on the road, but we're on the road. And on the marquee, I see Mission Impossible 3, a movie that I didn't care about because at the time I hated Mission Impossible 2.
Right.
And so what's the point? Why am I going to? Ooh. And then I remember driving, seeing it on the marquee and turning to Andrew and saying, you want to watch that movie? He's like, all right, cool. And then we just drove and went to the movies to watch Mission Impossible. And we, in the intermission, turned to each other and said, holy shit, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
Do I remember fairly correctly, Andrew?
I do not remember anything you've just said.
He was on the drugs. What have I been? I mean, sports.
Yeah.
It's playoff time and Champions League time. And it's just been sports. I didn't watch.
Have you watched The Expanse?
Didn't watch Legion this week. Didn't watch.
Yeah, I haven't watched Legion yet, and I haven't watched the second Expanse. I just watched the first episode.
But I told you from the last year. Yeah, The Expanse is doing what I hope Legion would be doing. The Expanse started right out of the gate, and they're just like, let's get this going.
Oh, actually, I have watched this week's Legion, and I'm happy because there is more Farouk.
Okay. It's picked up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if this gets better.
Yeah, I have watched no movies. The company's been audited. Sports. So I have the only movie I watched this entire week.
Damien, I'm so far behind. Like, I probably watch too many TV shows, but I am at least 6 or 7 episodes behind in Atlanta. Similarly on all sorts of other TV shows. Like
Andrew always calls me out on this because it's a thing I do every year where I look at what has come out since the year started and go, this might be the worst year for movies I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think 2018
the worst year
is running away.
Okay.
I have been to the movies to see,
to be fair,
Black Panther.
We don't go. I know you don't go to the movies very often anymore.
But even
even less so than you.
Yeah. But I'm just think about what has come out that we'd have. Like, even if we were regularly going to the movies,
Black Panther came out, I would have probably liked Pacific
Rim. Right.
Pac Rim, which I'm still on the fence about.
But what else?
A movie that you can go and watch right now that's pretty awesome that I saw this week called A Quiet Place.
Yes, I really want to watch that movie.
Yeah, but that's not out.
Yes, it is. I checked Carib. It's out. It's showing.
Wait, sorry, what?
I just checked the website. It's showing there now.
Check.
Hold on.
Check. Beep, boop, 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 beep. Because three people will be in that theater. So any day, not Sunday, I can go.
Yep, there it is. It's a quiet there. Place.
Yep.
And it's at, what the fuck? They've
five,
changed how the schedule
five
works.
And
oh, there we go, Carib. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at Carib. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at Letterboxd to see what movies I've actually gone to the theater to see this year.
Should I go to watch this movie? Damien, are we going tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well,
no, not. I said any day except Sunday. Can't go tomorrow. I need some sleep.
So this year has had Annihilation,
mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
Annihilation.
Okay, I don't know.
Annihilation was
and Quiet Place.
Yeah.
The other movie I've seen so far this year is Isle of Dogs, which I didn't like.
Easily.
You say that and it sounds like something that it's not. It sounds like a statement of amorousness.
It's kind of like Damien talking about Dunkirk. He's like, I saw Dunkirk and I didn't like it. He's mm-hmm. just kind of like, ugh. I have to admit it out loud.
Who made Isle of Dogs?
No. Yeah. Who
directed Isle of Dogs?
Wes Anderson.
You love dogs? What?
No, I just wanted Andrew to say his name out loud so I can smile.
What was I going to talk about? So yeah, there's A Quiet Place, which I guess we'll talk about another time since you guys will go and watch that.
Definitely.
I was actually looking online for it because it looks like one of those movies that would come out 3D. Quick, but it's not there yet. I was upset.
I did get around to watching a certain movie that I feel Damien has spoken about, but I can't remember how he really felt about it.
Okay.
I watched the latest XXX movie. XXX Return of Xander Cage. Douglas, have you seen this one yet?
I have 100% seen this movie.
Oh, great. All right, cool. I thought maybe you would be the one out.
Mm-mm. Nope. And we've spoken about this movie already, so... I'm actually glad that you've clearly forgotten, so we can have this this development, this all over again.
This movie
is
not a good movie.
Yes.
This movie, however,
it is not. Uh-huh.
Is a dumb enough movie that I kind of like it.
Andrew, you and I are in the same boat. Damien fucking hates this movie, but Andrew, I love, well, love might be a strong word, but this is a good movie. Like, I enjoy this movie.
Like, this is a movie where I think I love even more the narrative of just general outside of the movie, which is, in my head, the narrative I've made of Vin Diesel's film career.
Yes.
Which is when he started with XXX and Fast and Furious,
He
thought he was making real movies, which is why everyone hated them. Then he went off into, like... what was the name of that movie? Knock Around Guys.
Find Me Guilty.
Find Me Guilty, where he thought he was going to do something special, and those failed as well. And then slowly he turned back to Pitch Dark World and XXX World and Fast and Furious World and decided just to make them as dumb as possible. And he also did something which was, I guess, I feel was really important to them succeeding, which was making them even more multicultural. And they worked. This movie opens with them trying to get Neymar to be a XXX agent.
Yes.
Which I think Damien told me, but I didn't remember.
Yes.
Also, you get to have a scene of Vin Diesel skateboarding down a hill in Brazil to steal something that looks like the government is going to murder him in 10 seconds if he doesn't finish, just so they can watch a football match bootlegged.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This movie is god-awful dumb.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's god-awful dumb the right ways in so many ways. I think one of my favorite points in this movie, however, is there's a point when he encounters the quote-unquote bad guys. And they send Tony Jaa to go and kill him. And they're at a party. So he says, I know I want to create a distraction so that the murderer can't kill me. So he sends one of his team members, whose special skill is he's a DJ, to go to the DJ booth and basically make the party more dope, so that the crowd gets entangled and the murderer can't get to him. And that's how he solves his problem. It's so dumb.
Andrew, I love this movie. This movie, it's so stupid. And I love, as you said, the narrative that I have created around it, which is essentially that he figured out that he needs to just make a team movie from Fast and the Furious, create like a family environment, and then everything will be fun. That, oh my God, look at Archer. That is what he did here with XXX. He's just like, all right, guys, we're going to create a team of dumb people who do dumb things, and we're going to see how that works out for us. And I'll say family a couple times, and we'll do this. And it 100% worked for me. This movie, I would watch a fourth and a fifth and a sixth version.
Think they've already planned a fourth.
Oh, I'm sure. So Damien,
hi.
Can you please tell us how much you hate this movie?
Yeah. Here's the problem. That last XXX movie feels like it's like a Hail Mary, right? Where they're like, oh, why do people like Vin Diesel? It's because of Fast and the Furious. All right then. Why do people like Fast and the Furious? Oh, because it's ridiculous.
Family.
Right. But the reason people started liking... Sorry. The reason I started liking Fast and the Furious was because at some point they went, oh, this movie that is about cars and people being serious, what if we just make it as dumb as possible? But we have to narrow the scope so that it still involves cars. Right? Cars are still the backdrop of the movies. And now that they're onto submarines and planes, the last Fast and Furious movie felt weird. Because they started getting away from, like, someone thinks they're writing an actual movie with the last one. They're like, oh, let us bring back his family and his wife and put them in there. Like all of this shit that no one actually cares about. This triple X movie, they're just like, we are going to get any and everybody we can get signed up to this movie. And we're just going to have running explosions for as long as humanly possible. And then the movie went.
But isn't that all you ever want in movies?
Yes, but this movie is bad. There's nothing to this movie. It feels like the movie that when we're joking about what the Fast and Furious is going to become, this movie just leapfrogged all of that. And this XXX is just a template for what that stupid movie will become. But they didn't do it right. It just went to the absolute extremes. Like, we're going to have him skydiving, and we're going to have, they had a satellite fall out of the sky onto, like, all of that shit. And you're just like,
I vaguely remember there being a scene in a bathroom with a toilet.
By the time Ice Cube shows up, I was just like, yeah, all right, fuck it.
I forgot Ice Cube showed up in the end.
Think about how bad that final scene is when they're in, like, the warehouse. Right? There's just gunfire, but not like free fire where it's fun, where there's witty banter or whatever. Like, Vin Diesel isn't the thing that carries those Fast and Furious movies. Vin Diesel is the thing that everyone mocks from the Fast and Furious movie. Until The Rock showed up in that bitch. No, Vin Diesel lacks the charisma to carry any of those movies by himself. They tried four times. They were garbage. It wasn't until they're like, we need to Jason Statham and The Rock. And like, keep adding more people that have way more charisma than Vin Diesel. And then just have Vin Diesel mumble shit from time to time. And we'll mask it with Ludacris and Tyrese. and let's just get this thing going. But having him alone be the point man in a movie, fairly certain we can accept now that he cannot pull it off. He lacks the charisma to carry any movie by himself. And throwing around 19 other people who also can't act and aren't good at anything didn't help the situation.
How dare you say that about Donnie Yen?
Donnie Yen can't act.
But he can kung fu.
He's a kung fu man, yes. Ip Man. Right. I think that roughly translates to Karachi. I think I'm
pretty sure. And Tony Jaa.
Right. I'm not even going to honor the Tony Jaa one response.
Have some respect, Damien. He's a monk.
Oh, sorry. My apologies, Mr. Tony Jaa.
He's a protector.
You trash. Tony Jaa, you trash. Believe me, I went into that triplex movie going, I know what this nonsense is. Give it to me. And then at the end, I was like, this fucking shitty. God. I don't know if you guys have ever watched an African action movie. Just go on YouTube, type in anyone. They are basically what that triplex movie is. Where you stare at them and you're like, they have seen a lot of action movies and have taken everything wrong from them. And I've put this together and it is real bad. So, yeah, I am not. Yeah, no, me and triplex is not. I hope they make more of them for you guys. Because I know one day I'll sit here and you guys are like, all right, Damon.
Cree. Right, Damon.
Damon, we thought you was funny for a time. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Remember the second Machete movie? Remember the first one? Everybody was like, yeah!
Actually, I don't think I've watched the first one. I've only watched the second one.
And then the second one, I was like, no.
I love the second one.
Yeah, because you didn't see the first one.
Or maybe, yeah.
The first one, I was like, this movie's so dope. But they only made two, because they only could make two.
I'd watch Machete in space.
Yeah, man. They should make all them triplex. They should stagger them. Fast and Furious triplex. Fast and Furious triplex.
I guess it's like me and Crank. Mm-hmm. I watched the second Crank first. And adored it. Yeah, and I watched it first.
So by the time
and
you
that
saw
made
the first
me
one.
Watch the first one, which I hated.
Yeah. You saw the first one and you're like, this isn't...
Yeah.
What the hell is this? Yeah, because the second one is... They took the knob and they went like this.
Yeah.
Just spun it to the max and then tore off the knob and lit it on fire and said, that is Crank 2. What's the movie that came out a couple of years ago where it was all first person?
Oh,
Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry. Right. Yeah.
Crank 2 is Hardcore Henry. This is Crank 2. Crank 2 is amazing.
I love that movie, yeah. Hardcore Henry.
Yeah, that too. That movie good. Too. Real
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
People don't like it.
They shouldn't.
I don't like
it. If they are actually trying to, you know, talk about actual good movies, however.
Then, yeah, it's called Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
If you think that, then you've lost your mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like I was expecting Triple X Squared or whatever it is to be some glorious revival. No, I knew what that movie was and it still disappointed me. You know what didn't disappoint me? Pacific Rim.
So, okay. There are two other things I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. And they are anime related.
Okay. Hold on.
Can I turn up the intro
like this? I'll just put up my headphones somewhere for a second.
So there's one show which I've heard great things about, and I think Douglas has even tried.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if Damien has even tried this one, but I feel this one is tailor made for Damien. Mm-hmm. This show is called One Punch Man.
Fuck that show!
I've heard about said show.
I tried the first episode and stopped immediately. I can't remember if I finished the first episode. It was
this is
boring
a show
as shit.
About generic superhero whateverness in anime. About a man who has trained himself so hard that he can defeat anything with one punch.
Wait, this is this not to cut you, but is it like some dystopia, some wasteland, and they're driving around?
It's regular world.
Oh, all right. Because there's another one that I think I saw. Was that?
I think you're thinking of the old Fist of the North Star.
Oh, all right, fine.
Which is like Mad Max Wasteland.
I feel like I've watched that movie.
No, it's a really old show, so you would have probably seen it almost as like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's from the 80s, Douglas.
Mm-hmm. I know that name.
It is Muy El Bado.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, One Punch Man. Yeah. He's trained so hard and so well that he can defeat anything with one punch.
Of course.
So anytime some enemy appears and he has to do whatever, he thinks to himself, oh, great, a challenge. And then he gets depressed when he defeats him with one punch.
Mm-hmm.
But everything just keeps ramping up each time and it gets more and more ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So the show is more comedy than it is action. In its ridiculousness, to the point where you see him in a fight where he's just ducking and dodging and not caring, and then he gets really upset when he realizes, holy shit, it's Sunday and I've almost lost out on the sale at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he murders the person just so he can go to the sale at the supermarket.
Well, at least that sounds more interesting than what I thought it was going to be.
So it's just, like, the show, even though, like, if, like, you see clips of it, people might, like, accentuate all of the supposed shitty anime action kind of thing that you'd expect from a Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kind of coated in, like, ridiculous comedy, right? Of the situation of this guy who just walks past everything, right? And I feel like of anything that I would have seen, you might actually enjoy this one. Like, remember when we thought anime was awesome, but then we got trapped into Full Metal Panic Fumufu nonsense?
Yes. Yes.
It's like that breath of fresh air.
Uh-huh.
Of ridiculous shit.
I need to watch Full Metal Panic again.
Just watch that one, Fumufu, because...
Yes. Yeah, no, that is the one.
There's a regular Full Metal Panic.
Yeah, no, that is the one that I'm not talking about, that one. I don't give a shit about that. I miss Fumufu. Horseman. Oh, God.
And there's also this new show I just started watching. I've only seen one episode of it. And it strikes me as a very interesting show. It's called Hinamatsuri. It's about a guy who works for a Yakuza, a gangster,
mm-hmm.
In Japan.
I know what the Yakuza is.
Mm. I'm just making sure. I don't know if that word has translated over.
I've watched the internet.
You've played the Yakuza games.
Right. I've seen the internet.
And one day, sitting down at his house, minding his own business, out of nowhere, this supposed egg-shaped thing appears. And he ends up, for no reason that's ever explained, a young girl appears in his house who has telekinetic powers.
Okay.
And immediately she starts to basically muscle him into being her caregiver. So every time he's like, you should leave, like, why are you here? She like throws a vase with her powers. And breaks a really expensive vase that he has. Mm-hmm. And then he starts going, no, 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 that's fine. She walks around with him to a shop and he's like, you know what, I want all of that clothes because I don't have any clothes. And he's like, but that's expensive. And then she, like, uses her powers to, like, almost break his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just goading him into being his caregiver.
Yeah.
And it strikes me as a really fun show. I've only seen the one episode, but it seems pretty fun.
The premise sounds alright, but it's still anime.
And I'll leave A Quiet Place for later.
Douglas, I'll watch it if you watch
it. Listen, Damien, we're not teenagers and I'm not showing you anything.
That's what you said last time. You said we'd share. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.